Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Lord, we give glory to you. We bless your name this evening. We thank you for your mercy that opens the pathway into truth for us. We are incapable in ourselves to access anything that is of you. It is that which you make available to us that we gather. Thank you for what you are going to present to us again this evening. We appreciate you, our Father. Lord, I ask that there will be utterance in the name of Jesus. Let there be clarity of your word in the name of Jesus. Let understanding dawn upon our hearts this evening in the name of Jesus. Spirit of God, have your way here tonight. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Praise God. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, I want to read from verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Verse 8. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Hallelujah. I will just play around these two verses of the scripture, you know, briefly tonight. I think I have grace to be calm tonight, and I want to be very calm. If possible, that I will leave this spot. Amen. Let me hold to this thing. Hallelujah. All right. Now, it says, don't mind me, I'm trying to be very calm. Hallelujah. It says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. In the same way, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I think there are a few things we just need to highlight here. Number one, James, you know, compared us with a husbandman. James compared us with somebody who has planted a garden. James compared us with somebody that has planted an orchard. And then he says, for him to have fruit, he expects a fruit. I think that we dealt a little with this topic, these verses during the altar last year. And, you know, he's expecting a fruit, but if he's going to get a fruit, if he's going to get fruit, there are certain things that actually must be in place. And one of the things we are told is that he has to wait. He has to wait. And what is he waiting for? He's waiting for, alright, he waits for the precious fruit of the earth, and he had long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. In other words, if there is going to be fruit, if the husbandman is going to, you know, get fruit from his labor, he has to wait for the fruit. And one of the reasons why he's waiting for the fruit is that there is the necessity for him to have the early rain and the latter rain. Hallelujah. And then he now compares us with that and then says, the same way the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth, in the same way we also have to wait, or we also have to be patient. We have to establish our hearts because of the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let me quickly bring out two things here. Number one, it says, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it. Now, there is difference between waiting and patience. And if we are going to, you know, actually do what the Lord requires us to do, if we are going to fulfill the conditions for the early rain and the latter rain, then we must do both. Because the husband man actually takes his time to do both. He both waits and he has long patience. Now the first one, which is waiting, actually is not waiting in the sense of it, is actually to expect. Hello? To expect, to long for, to have a longing, to look ahead for something. So it says that the husband man actually expects, he has a longing, he looks ahead for the fruit or the precious fruit of the head. And that is one of the first points that we have to identify that, and the same thing applies not just even in this aspect alone. Whatsoever thing God has spoken to us, whether it is a vision, whether it is a prophecy, whether it is a dream, or whether it is whatever it is, or that the Lord has imparted to us, and one of the things that we are going to do, if we want to see God fulfill that which He has said, is that we have to have a heart that expects. We must be expectant. You know, sometimes God speaks to us, and then we just go to sleep. It doesn't work that way. Of course, there are times that you just go to sleep. But the truth is this. When the time for that word begins to come, there must be a longing. There must be an expectation. So the husband man has an expectation, has a longing, is tiring for something. Is tiring for something. Now, if you are expecting somebody in your house, your ears are attached to the door. Any knock you hear, what comes to your mind is that the person. That is what it means to expect. And we must have that position of the heart if we are actually going to walk with God and we are going to see, you know, God, you know, what God has spoken to our lives come to pass. We must long for. We must expect. We must tarry and we must wait for. Hallelujah. So that is the first requirement, or that is the first thing we see about the husband man here, that he waits. He waits. We have to wait. We must have a longing. And then let me not dwell so much on that. And then the second part of it is that he says he has long patience. He has long patience. In other words, he has a long spirit. He has the capacity to endure, you know, contradictions and circumstances that does not align with that thing that is expecting. He has an expectation, quite alright. But it's not just about him having an expectation. He's going to go through times that contradicts the things he's looking forward to. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. What we are saying is that there are going to be situations that are going to stand against, that are going to be contradictions to the thing that we have longing for. There are going to be contention. There's going to be delay of time. But having long patience is even more than time. Of course, there is a place for waiting for time, but it's even more than time. It's also capacity to endure adverse circumstances. There's a difference between being able to wait for time, but there's also a difference between being able to endure situations that are difficult and contrary. I may be able to wait for 10 years. But the truth is, I may not be able to wait for circumstances that come against that which I'm longing for. So both of them must be there. So when you are talking about having long patience, it's not just being able to endure the delay of time. You must also be able to endure the delay of circumstances that are not conducive for that which you are looking forward to. Hallelujah. Alright? So that means that, so the husband man is not just having a longing, is not just having an expectation, is also ready to endure difficult situations. Is also ready to endure challenges that are going to come in the course of receiving what he's expecting. Hallelujah. Alright. So we now see that in the verse 2 now says, be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now, I want to dwell around establishing your hearts. But before I go there, I want us to quickly look briefly at the issue of the coming of the Lord. Now, in verse 7, it says that the husband man waits for the precious fruit of the earth, and he had long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. Until he received the early and the latter rain. Now, actually, the object of his expectation is not really the early and the latter rain. The object of his long patience is not actually the early and the latter rain, but what he's actually longing for cannot be realized until he receives that. So even though he's not waiting because of the early and the latter rain, he's conditioned to wait for it. Why? Because it is the early and the latter rain that provides the condition for what he has, what he's waiting for to materialize. Do you understand that? So in a way, we can say that he's also actually waiting for the early and the latter rain. Now, what is the connection between the coming of the Lord? Because you see, now, when we say the coming of the Lord, what we merely translate that to is second coming. In a way, it applies, but in this scripture, that is not what he's talking about. Hallelujah. Now, the word coming there is the word parousia, which is the same word that also means presence. The presence of the Lord, the advent of the Lord. So sometimes it will mean the second physical presence of the Lord. Of course, the Lord is going to come. There is a time the Lord is going to physically come. Acts chapter 1. You know, when the Lord was taken away, that angel told them, he said, you see this same Jesus, the same way he went up, he's going to come. So nobody is disputing that fact that the Lord is going to come the way he lived physically. We are going to see him physically. He's going to come. That is established. But what we are saying is that before that physical coming of the Lord, and the Lord is not just coming just for anything, he is also expecting something. Alright? So what is the coming of the Lord here? What is the apostle talking about when he said we should be patient and establish our heart, for the coming of the Lord is close, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh? What is the coming of the Lord in context of what he's saying? Let's go to Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6, I think that is going to help us. Hosea chapter 6, let's start reading from verse 1. The people say, take me to KJV, I beg. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us, he hath smitten and he will bind us up. Yes. After 2 days will he revive us, in the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the money, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Who is the rain here? Hello? Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the money, and it shall come to us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. So the coming of the Lord to us is as the rain. So when James was saying that the husband man is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth and is having long patience until he received the early and the latter rain, then it next verse now tells us that the coming of the Lord is near. He's not talking about his physical coming. His coming is talking of his coming as rain. Hello? Do we understand that? Let's digest it. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. Listen, there is a knowledge of the Lord that is essential for the maturity of the saints. The precious fruit of the earth is, let me not go there, all right? So then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the money, and he will come to us. Hey, he will come to us as the rain. In other words, he's only comparing the Lord as rain. Amen. So the coming of the Lord is unto us as the rain, and it's going to come to us as the latter and the former rain on earth. So when James, take us back to James chapter, that's in James chapter 5. James 5. So he says, be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So when he's saying the coming of the Lord here, he's not talking about the second advent. Hallelujah. Why is he using the word also? Be also. In other words, I'm talking in the same context of what I said before. That is in the same way. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Hallelujah. I don't know if, am I together in the work tonight? Are we together? All right. So now, that's why I said, I already know that this is not a preaching night. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Look at that. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. That's what he first, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. He now said, look at the husbandman. He waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and he had long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain. You also be patient. I don't know if you understand that. You also be patient, establish your heart, because the coming of the Lord just now, the same way that husbandman must receive the early and the latter rain, the same way you also must get ready for it, because it is coming soon. And Hosea now told us that the Lord is going to come to us as the rain. So if we are waiting for the coming of the Lord, we are not waiting to see the Lord physically. We are waiting for a time when the knowledge of the Lord is going to begin to be released to his people, so that there can be development and maturity. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. So when we are talking about the coming of the Lord, we are not just talking about, now listen, don't mistake me. That's why I established first that we are not negating the fact that there is going to be a second advent, physical second advent. But what we are saying in essence is this, that before that advent is going to come, the Lord will come. Hallelujah. And if there is anything that the church is, we are supposed to be expecting, if there's anything we are supposed to be looking up to, is actually for this coming. Because the church is not going to be mature, the church is not going to be developed, if the Lord does not come. We are going to remain babes, we are going to remain immature, if the Lord does not come. So there is a coming of the Lord that we are both expecting, and that I believe that in a degree we are receiving, but we have not received the fullness of it. Now my emphasis tonight is not to teach about the rain. That's why I don't want to go into some things. I don't want to talk about the ministry of righteousness and all of that. That's not my emphasis tonight. I just want to play around a few things. But I want to establish that fact. So when he says that the coming of the Lord is nigh, he's actually saying that a time is going to come. Yeah, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. So the subject of the prophet here is actually the knowledge of the Lord. That is the subject. And in a simple way, we can say, so the Lord is coming to us. The reason why the Lord is coming to us is because he wants to make himself known to us. Hallelujah. So if there is anything we are supposed to be talking about, we actually supposed to be talking about the knowledge of the Lord. Amen. I think we can go forward from there now. So be also patient. Establish your hearts for the coming of the Lord right now. Take me to Hebrews chapter 6. Let's really look at something in Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 1. Therefore, living the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Look at that. Therefore, living the principles of the doctrine of Christ. The word principle is the word, the first installment. So there is something called the first installment of the doctrine of Christ. So remember when he was talking about the early and the latter rain. There's something called the first installment. That is that which comes first. So living the principles of the doctrine of Christ, the basics. Let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again. Now, perfection there is maturity. That's to mature. Perfection is not talking about perfection in terms of everything is old. I mean, you are finished. Nothing else can be done. It's talking about coming to an age of maturity and age of responsibility. Now, for Jesus, at 30, he was perfect. Not perfect. At 30, he was perfect. At 30, he was not perfect. At 30, he was mature to be released to work. But Hebrews chapter 5 now tells us that though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the thing he suffered and being made perfect. Do you understand that? He had to suffer to come into perfection in his fullness. But at 30, he was mature. He was perfect. He was a full-grown man. So, So let's go to the doctrine of, you know, let's go on to perfection. That is, in terms of let's come to full growth. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Yes. Of the judging of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Yes. And these will we do if God permit. I wonder why God is selective about allowing him to move into that aspect. Do you understand? He said this we will do, but God has to permit it. I can't just come to you guys and begin to open up perfection to you. I really desire that you go forward, but I can't just do anything. And this will we do if God permit. Now look at why. Look at the next verse. For it is impossible. He's now beginning to describe the reason why there is actually a concentration of God's eyes over that area. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, yes, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, yes, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. So he says, see, God is careful about this ministry. Why? Because they said there is nothing that is impossible with God, but I see one impossible thing. For with God, all things are possible. But it is impossible to bring to repentance a man that has gone through this process. I don't know if you understand. He said, for it is impossible, they shall fall away to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Look at the next verse. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that come often upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. Next verse. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Yes. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that are coming to salvation, though we do speak. Now, Paul had told them that, see, guys, we need to move from this place where we are and go to perfection. I'm able to do that, but I can't just move into it except there's a permission. And then he said, this is why God is careful about it. Because it is impossible to actually, if somebody can go through this process, get enlightened, receive of the Holy Ghost, you know, partake of the heavenly gift and all that, you know, taste of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. And then the person should fall away. And to now bring the person back to repentance, he said, no. He didn't say it is difficult. He said it is impossible. So God will not initiate the process if he's not sure he's going to complete it. Hallelujah. All right. So he now said that he's now comparing the ministry of perfection with the coming of the rain. That's what it shows there. He said, for the earth will drink of the rain that comes up upon it and beareth, you know, beareth seed for whom it is blessed. He said, but the one that beareth thorns is getting ready to be cursed. He said, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. This is a dangerous position to be. Hallelujah. And so, God is not ready for that. God is not going to move. Now, my emphasis, what I'm trying to do is this. What I'm trying to say tonight is that there is a ministry, or there is something called the coming of the knowledge of the Lord, which is the same thing as the coming of the Lord, which is supposed to bring the saint into a place of maturity and development. Do you understand? And you know that the Lord is not coming for a baby church. He's coming for a full-grown church. He's coming for a developed church. He's coming for a church that is working. He's coming for a church that has grown up into him in all things. And he's not going to come physically for that until he has come spiritually and done that work in their midst. Hallelujah. And so if there's anything we should be doing right now, is that we should be making ourselves ready to really key into that assignment. And go back to James chapter 5. So be patient, therefore, brethren, on the coming of the Lord. 8. Be also patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draw nigh. So James is now telling us that there's something we need to do, and he called that in what? Establishing our hearts. Establishing our hearts. Establishing our heart. Because the coming of the Lord is not just coming for, the Lord is not just coming for our body. The Lord is coming for our heart. There is something the Lord wants to do with our heart. And our heart must be prepared. Our heart must be made ready. Are we together? Our heart must be made ready to be in a place where God can have a level of guarantee that whatever is going to do with us is going to be preserved. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Hello? Amen. Let me just keep talking. Hallelujah. Maybe I'm not the one, I'm the one that is not correct. I can't feel one flow. It's okay. Alright, let's move on. You don't always have to feel the flow. Amen. So you receive that by faith. Hallelujah. Alright? So be also patient, establish your heart for the coming of the Lord, dread night. See, let me know something. Many times, the Lord intentionally withhold knowledge. See, whatever the Lord is doing with us now. Now, I want you to know something, that whatever the Lord is doing with us now is not just for now. It's for the world to come. Listen. The laws of God and the testimony that was given to Moses to teach Israel, it was not for their use in the wilderness. It was for their use in Canaan. Hello? Do you know God didn't intend they were going to spend 40 years in the wilderness? Do you know he didn't plan for them to spend 40 years? So in his mind, he was not thinking they were going to, some people say they were supposed to spend 40 days. Sorry, it is a wrong theology. There's nothing like that. As at the time they were receiving the testimony, they already spent 3 months. Before they disobeyed at all. They spent 3 months in the wilderness. About 3 months. You know, Exodus 19 was on the third month of the day they left Egypt. Do you know that? Exodus 19, when God began to bring the laws, that coincided with the Feast of Pentecost. It was 50 days, about 50 days into their journey into the wilderness. It was on the third month. You know, 50... I think it was 14th. Okay, yeah, 14th day. If by the time you add 50 plus 14, that is 64. It's already a third month. So they were already on the third month that they left that place. And so if already they spent 50 days in the wilderness, it couldn't have been that God wanted them to spend 40 days. So there's no place where the Bible said he wanted them to spend 40 days. He didn't say it anywhere. You can check through the scripture. There's no place. We just assume that because he said, okay, you had 40 days to search. It's going to be 1 year. So you spend another 40 years. Actually, when they got to Kadesh Barnea to Canaan was just 11 days. Do you understand that? So they were very close to Canaan as at the time they had to, you know, start the journey all over again. So why I'm saying all that, God didn't intend them to spend 40 years. So the testimony Moses went to receive was not even for the purpose of the wilderness. It was for their use in Canaan. That law was supposed to, is actually the governing rule of their life when they enter into that land. And that was why God took them. In fact, one of the reason why God took them into the wilderness is for the testimony to be received. So that when they get into Canaan, it can become implemented and they will be taught and all that. Even the condition in the wilderness was not even, you know, allowed for those kind of things. Do you understand that? Now, take me to Romans chapter 9. Hallelujah. Amen. Actually, I'm just enjoying my flow. I've discovered that it is impossible for me to do what I want to do. So let me just enjoy my flow. I beg. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 9. Alright. Where is that what I'm looking for? Okay. Look at verse 23. Romans 9:23. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. Do you see that? He said that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. So what God is doing for us, what God is doing with us right now, is actually a preparation to be able to carry what? Glory. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Alright, so what I'm just saying that so that you, I will explain that the laws and, you know, what God is trying to do in our life right now is such that we can be a people of the new world. Amen. It's so that we can be a people of the new world. It's so that we can be able to relate with the fullness of God's glory that is going to come. Now, the truth is this. The fullness of God's glory, this age can't carry it. Hallelujah. It's not meant for this world. So that is why the fullness of what God is doing with us, this world cannot manifest it. We can't manifest it yet. But of course, there is a place for us coming to taste of the power of the age to come. You understand? But the fullness of it, so God is doing a work with us right now, such that we can be a people that can manage the age to come. Do we understand that? But the life we live right now is actually a preparation for that one. So Paul, so James is saying that the Lord is going to come, but our hearts ought to be prepared. Our heart ought to be made ready, so that when these things begin to come, the Lord can say, I'm sure what I'm doing in these people is going to be preserved. Hallelujah. Now, okay. I was saying something. I said that the Lord often deliberately, see, God tests the heart. And that is why when you are experiencing a delay in your life, just know that the Lord is actually trying to see the true position of your heart. So when the Lord shuts down certain things, when the Lord does not allow certain things to come, what he's trying to do is that he's not just trying to test people, he's actually trying to prove the people he will release those things to. Let me cite an example. Exodus chapter 32, you don't need to go there. When Moses, after Moses had gone to the mountain to receive the law, it was there for how many days? For 40 days, Moses was in the mountain. After 40 days, the children of Israel said, hey, Aaron, come. See, this Moses, we don't know what has happened to him. Make us gods. Do you understand that? And all the while, God was just watching. And when they did all that, and you know, they made the golden calf and they worshipped it, and then God told Moses, look at your people, they've left me so early. And Moses came and said, who is on the Lord's side? And Levi separated themselves and said, we are on the Lord's side. That was the day God chose Levi to bear the testimony. That was all he wanted to achieve. He just wanted to find the tribe that will be closest to that thing. Is there? I was trying to search for that scripture. There's a scripture that God said it. That you remember that Levi will be separated to this because in the day of this thing, they were the one that stood. There's a scripture, but I just couldn't find it. That was the day God actually appointed Levi, and God decided that day that Levi is going to be closest to the testimony. They are going to be the one that will bear the ark. So God allowed that. God allowed, you know, Moses just stayed there for the night. Of course, there was something he was doing, but God allowed that delay so that the heart of Israel could be tested and God can find the people that are worthy of the testimony. And he found Levi. Hallelujah. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts and they have not known my ways. Yes. So I swear in my rod that they should not enter into my rest. Yes. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, you know, God is actually talking about the children of Israel here. He's actually talking about the children of Israel here. He said, you know, he said, these people always err in their heart. They've not known my ways. Then he now saying, take it, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That was what Israel showed God in Exodus 32. Why did he say that in departing from the living God, they left the one that is alive and told Aaron, make us gods? That is idolatry. That's what he was saying here. Because departing from the living God, you are going from that which has life into that which has no life. You are going into that which has mouth and cannot speak, which has legs and can't walk. That's what they ended into. And so, the apostle is there warning us that we have to beware, we have to be careful, lest there be in anyone an evil act of unbelief that departs from the living God and to go into idolatry. Because the truth is that sometimes God deliberately delay in coming. God deliberately delay in coming. And listen, if there is anything, you may lose anything, but one thing you must never lose is that you must never lose faith. Why? Because the first installment of God to you is not love, it's faith. Listen, God demonstrated love to everybody, but when God was going to come to you personally, he didn't bring love, he sold faith. Because that is the only way you could have responded. It wasn't causing for love from you. He just said, just believe. How is a man saved? With the heart, man believes what? Unto righteousness. That is God's first installment. So if everything is lost, he wants to see, be able to see that one. Hallelujah. So even if the people are going to lose their meekness or whatever, even if they have not moved, how many of us have really entered? Are we really walking in love? See, I know I may not be doing one thing, but one thing I know is that I still believe. I know there's something about this gospel. I want to walk in love, but I'm not yet fully dead. Hallelujah. But I have faith. Not just faith to move mountain, but I have faith that what he has said is true. And that's the faith he's talking about, that what he has said is what? Is true. And that is why a man gets saved just because he believed God said he raised Jesus from the dead. Hello? Just by believing. You don't have any evidence. You are not there. You don't even know anything. But you just believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. He died for your salvation. He was raised from the dead for your justification. And he says if you can just believe that God raised him from the dead, he said you will be saved. Just believe. That what God said about his son is true. So there is a whole lot about the issue of our faith that God expects us to hold on tenaciously. God hates it when people lose faith. Take me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hallelujah. I will just keep the rest of the message to me. So any other day I'm called to preach, I will just go back there. Amen. Let me reserve it. Hallelujah. Because Revelation will go back. So, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Where is that? Look at it. Look at verse 38. Oh, Epaphras. I know you. Oh, my God. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The just shall live by faith. So what is drawing back? What is a man drawing back? Is when a man begins to lose that strong point of faith, he calls that thing what? Drawing back. When a man begins to lose confidence in what God has said in the gospel. When a man begins to lose confidence, when a man begins to lose trust. Listen, the issue of trust in God is so awesome. It is like the whole thing is hanging on it. And that is why one of the sin that Abraham committed in the garden of Eden is actually one of lack of trust. God said, the day you eat of it, you will die. Satan came and said, you won't surely die. Because God knows that the day you eat of it, and he began to give them another gospel. Do you understand? And he began to give them another gospel, and then he painted a picture of a God that is not, you know, that, you know, there was a way he painted God to them in the light, and then they began to see reason that this thing may not altogether be true. And then they fell. Hallelujah. Now, so what is my emphasis? I want to just stay in that place. I'm close. I have just like 5 minutes to go. That, so now what I'm saying in essence is this. God said about the children of Israel, he said they do always err in their heart. Let me tell you something. One of the strongest point of the heart is its capacity to believe. Minds don't believe. Hello? Minds don't do what? The configuration of the mind is not to believe. The mind cannot believe. That is not what it was meant for. It is the heart that has the capacity to believe. That's why it says with the heart. Man believes. So one of the things that God has designed and created the heart to do is to be able to believe. So when God begins to come with the gospel, and then the heart receives the gospel, salvation comes to that heart, and then God says, I hate it. I don't like it. When people come to a point and they begin to distrust me. Thank you, man. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't worry. I'm as mindful of time as you are. Hallelujah. So now, and he said, I don't like it when people lose confidence. Take me to Philippians chapter 1. Let's see something in Philippians 1. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Do you see that? What? The next verse. For unto you it is given, okay, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. Let's just stay. It's okay. I'm okay. Now, when I'm taking me back to verse 27, I think my emphasis is in verse 27. It now says that striving together for the faith of the gospel. If there's anything the Lord wants us to fight, if it requires it, is to hold on to that faith. The moment we begin to lose our confidence and our trust in that which God has said, a basic foundation is already being taken away. Hello? Take me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 18. Oh, take me to 17. I'll close here. And their word we eat as doth a canker, of whom is Imenaeus and Philetus. Yes? Who concerning the truth have heard, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of what? So what was overthrown? What was overthrown? Next verse. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. So what is God's foundation? God's faith. Hello? What was overthrown in some? They are what? Hello? Are we together? What? Take us back to the next verse. Take us back to the next verse. They said that the resurrection is past already and overthrew the faith of some people. Next verse. So the faith of some people, their confidence in what God has said. There was something God said and they believed and they held on to. But some guys came and told them something else, that the resurrection is already gone, and then their faith was overthrown. They lost their faith. Then now says, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. You cannot overthrow God. You cannot displace his faith. His confidence in his son and in his word. He said God remains faithful. he can't condescend to that point. Nevertheless, having this seal, okay, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Many times we get this thing wrong. Listen, he's not saying that on the foundation of God there is something written. Let me explain that to you. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. No, it is not that on the foundation is written, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The seal, actually, the mark of identity, is the standing faith. You don't understand that. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of whose heart is what? When God is looking around, there's one thing God is looking at. Who is still holding on to faith? So that is the seal. Listen to me. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He didn't put it in quotes now. Why are you now putting it in quotes? He didn't put it in quotes. So nevertheless, the family of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. This is what he's saying in essence. For as long, the only way by which God can identify the true people of God is the fact that their faith is preserved. If the faith of everybody is overthrown, God's foundation stands sure. It is the foundation of faith. Listen, God has confidence in what he has said. Even if he said it 2 billion years ago, it can't fail. So God just spoke something to you 5 years, and then you already lost heart because things are coming against you. I don't know what is coming against you. I don't know what is coming against what God has spoken to you. I don't know what is coming against your assurances in God. I've only come tonight to tell you that you don't need to let your heart be moved. Do you understand? God is true to his word, and what he has said, he will do. Can you hold on to faith? Can you keep believing God? Don't let your heart be drifted. Do you understand? Don't let your heart be drifted. Don't let your heart be different. Stay in faith. God is able to bring to pass what he has said, whether it is you personally and corporately to the church. Let me tell you something. All that he has said concerning his son is going to do them. He's going to bring them to pass. Whatsoever hell may bring up together, they cannot stay or stand against that which God has spoken. Hallelujah. Thank you, our Father. Thank you for this short word you have brought to us this evening. Thank you for reminding us of the need to stay in faith. We ask that you will help our heart. Is there anyone that is being drawn? Is there anyone that the pressure of challenges and trouble is weakening their heart? We ask that you will impart strength tonight in the name of Jesus. May your heart be strengthened to hold on to God in the midst of the storms in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
It's grace, your grace. I'm nothing without you.
We hope that you have been richly blessed by this message. God demands that we not only be hearers but doers of the word. We implore you to put these teachings to practice. Perhaps you have a question running through your mind in the course of the message. Forward it directly to pastor's email, pdtchurch@gmail.com. We desire to have you join one of our meetings, School of Dialysis, every Tuesday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Governmental prayers, every Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Sunday service, 9 a.m. at Power and Glory Tabernacle Auditorium, along Futa South Gate Road, Akure. For more information about the ministry, log on to our website at www.pdtchurch.org or call 080-372-60299. Grace be with you. It's your grace.